Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Grilled. Here's today's host, Brooklyn-based storyteller Mark Pagan.
We have one more storyteller, and I am actually going to be the person sharing that story. My name's Mark. Yeah. I'm going to talk to you all about some stuff. I don't know about all of you. My experience, I have a lot of men from foreign countries who like to talk to me in public. They like to talk to me. They like to ask me questions. And I think it's because I look like 72% of the world's population. Just like, I'm short, I'm hairy, I'm dark. And they're like, this guy understands my worldview. And it happens all the time. I was at the deli last week and I was paying for my sandwich and the guy goes, where are you from? And I said, I'm Latino. And he goes, no. And I said, oh, okay. And he says, I'm from Yemen. We are brothers. And I'm like, okay. And it's not bad. Like, I kind of like it because I have this global fraternity of Swarthy men just everywhere I go. And a few years ago, I was on the F train in Brooklyn, and it was a quiet day, and I was sitting there, and the doors open, and this guy comes on. He's like the winner of Mr. Old World. He's got this beaten down fedora and a linen suit, and he's got a mustache that's really hip now, but it was just a mustache in mid-century Europe. And he's the train is empty. The train is empty, and he does exactly what I think he's going to do. He sits right next to me, and he launches into conversation, and it's like a Slovakian language. He's just mid-conversation. And he gets to the point where he's even making jokes. And I'm like, I haven't said anything. And so finally, I said, I speak English. And he goes, oh, And he goes, train, Manhattan. And I go, yeah, it's going to Manhattan. And I go back to what I'm doing, and what I'm doing is what I call lap reading. And that's when you're reading something you're embarrassed about in public, so you keep the cover on your lap so that nobody can see what it is. You 50 Shades readers, you. And he does what all lap readers fear. He lifts the book from my lap to see what I'm reading, and he points to the title and he says it out loud, and it's a one-word title, and he says, Soar, S-O-A-R, Soar. Now I'm afraid, based on my reputation as the man that international men like to ask questions to, that he's gonna start wanting to practice his English with me. He's gonna have questions about this book, and I have to explain to him, yeah, SOAR, the breakthrough treatment for fear of flying. I'm afraid of flying. And he's gonna go, train, book, pussy. And I'm gonna go, yeah, your English is getting pretty good there. Yep. That doesn't happen. Does not happen. He eventually gets off the train, and when he gets off the train, he tips his fedora and he says, sir, and he walks off and he leaves my life. Now, I grew up in a privileged enough home where we could travel when I was a kid. My dad worked abroad a lot. We had family in the Caribbean, and we flew, and flying was never a problem. And about 10 years ago, I got on a flight. We got in the air, and I told myself, this could crash and I could die. And every single flight after that, that's what my brain would tell me. And so the tendency would be, I'd be on a flight, a bump would happen, and my amygdala would go, what was that? And I say, I think it's just a bump, maybe some turbulence. Another bump would happen. My amygdala would go, look around. What's going on with people's faces? And I'm like, nobody's freaking out. My amygdala would say, that's a conspiracy. And then another bump and another bump and another bump would happen. And my amygdala would say, get out of here. I'm like, I'm in midair. What do you want me to do? And it'd be like, well, just panic. And that's what would happen. And I tried everything. I thought I tried everything. I tried Xanax. I tried mindfulness. I would do this thing where I would stay up the night before a flight thinking that when I got on the flight, I'd be so exhausted I would pass out. But instead, it was just anxiety with a lot of yawning. I couldn't sleep. Couldn't do anything. And so I got to this point where it's like, I got to be able to fly. And this book had come into my life, and it was like a last-ditch effort because of this technique that was in this book. And the technique was called empathic attunement. That's what I was reading about. So basically what it is you think of a memory. You think of a memory that releases oxytocin. Oxytocin is our anti-anxiety hormone. We get it during foreplay or sex or time with a baby, maybe during our wedding. For some people, maybe divorce. But it is a very delightful, delightful memory in which you feel safe and which your body is releasing this anti-anxiety hormone. So you take that memory, this brief memory, and you overlay it over the triggers. So whether that's turbulence, whether that's the actual doors closing on a flight, whatever it is, and you do this alone as an exercise. Now the problem for me as an adult man is I'm feeling like I'm not having these moments very often. The only things I can think of are ex-girlfriends and these romantic situations. And I'm like, this isn't gonna help at all. And so I'm trying and trying, and all of a sudden, this guy from the train comes into my brain like an Obi-Wan Kenobi and says, "Sar, sar, sar, dig deeper." And so I do, and this memory of my father flashes through my head. My father's not around anymore, but I have this memory of coming to visit him in his office right before I go to bed, and he just grabs me, and I just feel his beard on my skin, taking all this Old Spice cologne, and I feel safe. I just feel really safe. And I'm like, oh my God, my dad was an old foreign man. Old foreign men are my nurturers. I'm like, if you have two passports and hairy arms, that's my squad. And so I'm like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is what I'm gonna use. I'm gonna start doing this. So I put this into practice. And what the practice is, you're home alone, and maybe in bed before you go to bed at night, you listen to a recording of the author, and he's talking about, turbulence, and you think of the memory. So I'm in bed, and I'm thinking turbulence, and I'm thinking that my father's hug, 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 hug. Getting to the airport, hug, 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 hug. And you're just overlaying all this stuff. And I'm doing this for weeks, which is fine, but I'm not flying. I'm like, you know what? We're gonna put this into practice. Now, for the last few years, I was just doing very regional flights, 2 hours, 3 hours max. And I was like, we're going old school. We are going to go international. So I get in touch with a friend of mine who lives in as international place I can think of. And I buy a direct flight from John F. Kennedy Airport, New York, to Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, if any of you remember what the map looks like, that is 18 hours direct, most of which is over the Atlantic Ocean. I was like, we're gonna do this. So I buy the ticket, and it's a month away. And I wanna be fully transparent here. It's not like I bought the ticket and I was like, this is gonna be perfect. I called the airline being like, are you sure you're not gonna cancel this flight? Is there any way I can get off this thing? Meanwhile, Obi-Wan Kenobi keeps showing up my head, going, sorry, sorry, get on the plane, get on the plane, get on the plane. So the day comes, I get to the airport, I'm feeling really nervous. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna buy a New York Times. And I've never read a New York Times cover to cover, but I'm like, this could take 18 hours. Better get on the plane. I open my newspaper. We lift off. We're in the air. About an hour into the flight, the pilot gets on. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we got some reports that there's some bumps up ahead, so I'm going to put the fasten seatbelt sign on, and we'll let you know when we're away from it. So he puts the light on, and the first bump hits. And my amygdala goes, what was that, what was that, what was that? And I go, hug, 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 hug. And the second bump hits, and it's a doozy, and my brain goes, what was that? And I go, hug, 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 hug. Third, fourth, fifth bump. And these bumps are coming out of nowhere. We're dropping, raising, dropping, raising. And I just keep using that hug. And I can't tell you how long the turbulence lasted. I can't tell you how many bumps we hit. Because at some point, I fell asleep. Thank you.
Mark Pagan is an award-winning film and podcast producer, storyteller, writer, and former B-boy. A Moth Story Slam winner, his work and performances have been shown at festivals and shows worldwide, including Slamdance Film Festival, Arizona International Film Festival, North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival, Charleston Comedy Festival, Risk, The Moth, Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, Story Collider, People's Improv Theater, and Magnet Theater. He currently produces and hosts the series and live show Other Men Need Help. If you've never heard someone ask themselves their own questions, get ready. It's kind of funny. We're going to learn more about our host here on Sound Bites.
My connection to Maine, that is a good question. I think I have a bunch of friends, kind of like Miles, that are from Maine, and they've bugged me about coming up here over the years, and I never have. So that is my connection. I'm finally here. What got you into storytelling? I got into storytelling because I came to a point in my life where it's like, oh, I finally have stuff to say that has substance. And that's simply there was stuff I wanted to talk about. And I felt like I was of age that I had enough experience to talk about those things. What is the process for preparing to tell? So when I'm going to do a show, I do this thing where I take my phone, I just put my earbuds in, and I just walk around talking to myself and talking it out on the street like I'm talking to somebody on the phone. And it makes me feel more conversational when I finally get up to talk about it on the stage. And tell us about one part of your story, some behind-the-scenes detail that I'm not including. What am I not including tonight? This is ultra-specific, but I'm mentioning a few people that I've run into in public, just these strangers, and I so want to talk about the guy that gives me my watch bands. He has there's no reason he should be really included in the story, but he's such a character, and maybe he'll show up somewhere else.
Sound Bites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Sound Bites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.